Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
Welcome to Virtual Reality Church.
Welcome to our virtual church.
Is there some type of way for a virtual congregation?
You're not a congregation if you don't congregate.
When you combine this access with the loss of the local, I become my own confession, and I go around the World Wide Web listening for echoes that say back to me what I've already decided to believe.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel. It's the Wretched Radio Mail Call Delivery Bag Q&A Infotainment Nationwide Extravaganza, featuring your voicemails, correspondences, communiques, dispatches, memorandums, and missives.
Any special message for all the kids watching at home?
What we need right now is a clear message to the people of this country.
You have 1,200 messages.
That is a bit above average.
Now here's your host, Todd Freakishly Tall Friel.
The mail is here!
This is Wretched Radio. Would you please go to the internet machine and send whatever you see that's wretched, sermon, stories, articles, anything wretched, send it to idea@wretched.org and then go to your cell phone and text away 877-282-2337. I'm just saving time in here, Jimmy. It's like texting K instead of OK. What a time saver. Although, this actually might help you slow down. Was reading an article, I think it was John Piper. He was asked the question about speeding, so it caught my attention because I think that's been a bit of a perennial debate around here at Wretched. Is it a sin for a Christian to speed? I mean, after all, that is the law. And John Piper takes a hard line and says, you absolutely positively cannot speed. The law is the law. And we've had that debate before, but what caught my attention was that he did some math. He said, let's just say you're driving, I'm making up these numbers, but you'll get the point. Let's say you've got to drive 10 miles to get to work, and you are able to, for this many minutes, drive this many miles an hour faster than you should. By the time you get to work, you'll have saved 27 seconds. Oh, wait a second. I thought I was saving so much time. Why is it, especially in Atlanta? I think that's actually the clue that we need. Why do we feel the need to push it? I just want to go fast. I got to get there fast. I think it's just the of being in traffic. And it's just, got to go. And we're just wound up. Which, once again, I ask the question, we're here, so we have to live this way. But I wonder really if this way, this fast pace of life, is what is best for us. Just pushing and driving and gunning and going. Just the constant input, the cell phones, the texts, the emails that get sent, like you should send to idea@wretched.org or text 877-282-2337. I'm your hypocrite host, Todd.
This is an email from Paul. Todd, I will be leading our preteen ministry this fall. What should ministry look like to that age group?
What do you want to do with them? That's the question. Figure out the goal, know your target, and then you'll do a better job at coming close to hitting it. If you just kind of, what's kind of a cool thing? What could we do? How do we want to, what would be an interesting thing for the kid? What would keep their attention? I think those questions can be asked, but I think the question that must be asked is, what is our goal for these young men and women? And the answer to that question is to make them mature adults, to grow them up in godliness. We have them for virtually no time in the church. An hour a week, maybe two? If they do youth group on Sunday morning while adults are in Bible study, and then you've got a Wednesday night sort of affair, and usually that's filled up with pizza eating and gross out games. We have them. Okay, consider the kids going to school. They go up 8 hours a day, and they get indoctrinated, make no mistake about it. And it ain't memorizing Bible verses. So that is 40 hours a week. And the church has them for two at best. Oh, you better utilize that time to get on it. And I think you can. There's a way to keep the kids' attention. Because first of all, they're not as immature as they oftentimes look. I learned this the hard way years ago. I remember being asked to speak to junior high. And I thought, oh, that's going to be a tough gig. And I went and did it. And I determined I'm not going to talk dumb, because somebody wiser than I, which would be pretty much everybody on the planet, said, don't underestimate these kids. Treat them with respect, because they know when you're talking down to them. I took that advice, and this person, whoever it was, bless his heart, was absolutely right. I remember. I can actually see it. A couple of kids literally fell asleep. You know, they're busy growing and stuff. Otherwise, I felt like they're hanging in there. They are not going, oh, this is just all stupid, and this, I don't get any of that. None of that. So don't go down. Bring up and aim for godliness. Have them memorize Bible. Make them do it. That's drill and kill. Yeah, call it what you want. Hiding God's word in your heart, you want to call it drill and kill? That's fine by me. Do it, because that is the time for them to memorize it, and they will carry it with them. Catechize them. Don't spend so much time doing silly things. Pull them up. If that's your goal, you'll sort it. For instance, then you could go to FortisInstitute.org and consider Road Trip to Truth. That's mature stuff. Junior high up. It's mature stuff. It's talking about big things. For instance, the first episode, first segment, believe it or not, it has the law of non-contradiction. And you think, my seventh grader's not going to get that. Yeah, they will. Because it's presented in a way that's so easy for, and I get it. Your seventh grader can, if I can get it, your seventh grader can get it. And it's addressing the issues that your kids are getting hammered by at their schools. You got kids in your charge, you got an awesome responsibility. Be wise, grasshopper. Raise them up. Pull them up. Do not go down. Do not amuse them to death. Grow them into maturity. And then send stuff to 877-282-2337.
All right, this is from Austin. Todd, I go to a Sound Bible Institute in Chicago. And during our...
I wonder which one that is.
Yeah, and during our chapel, they've been playing Elevation Worship songs.
Uh-oh.
I see this as a problem because they're paying to use that music and in turn prospering a church that is outright apostate.
Yeah.
I don't actually know how to handle this.
Yeah, would you go back to the very beginning of that?
Mm-hmm.
What did it say?
I go to a Sound Bible Institute.
Okay, stop right there. All right. If a church or if an institution is starting to incorporate Bethel and Hillsong and Elevation, and everybody knows the source, everybody knows that that music is lower than other music that has been written and is currently being written, it is not as sound. It is either ignorant of those organizations, it's ignorant of some of the stuff that they import into those songs. Believe me, I know sometimes people will say, well, you know, this Elevation song, you know, there's nothing wrong in it. Yeah, okay, fair enough. But I promise you, it has a bent. If you go back to the worship music of the 90s, you're gonna hear a lot about nature, specifically fire, rain, the rivers, flowing, heat. Why? Because a lot of that music of that era was being written out of the Nazarene church. And it was lingo that they used, and they were bringing it into their songs. And we started singing along. And that those concepts and ideas, they were brought into mainstream evangelicalism. And I assure you, the same thing is happening today with the Bethel and the Hillsong. Those branches, they are outside of the Bethel, honestly. That is just a white hot mess. Don't think that they're bad theology isn't being snuck in, even with a word. You think I'm being hyper-vigilant? Well, I don't mind that. But that's what we saw happening in the 90s. Well, being set on fire for God. Where did all of that come from? The worship music of the 90s? And it's the same thing is happening now. So there could be ignorance on the part of a church. We have to assume that that is the case. Or the other assumption would be, while they might be orthodox, they are not as robustly biblical as you might think. This is a chink in conservative armor. This would be one of the things that says, well, you can call yourself conservative, but you're not, because we need to guard hearts and minds. And one of the most powerful ways that the devil can influence is through music. Ask Arius. He almost won the Trinitarian debate. You and I, we would likely be heretics because he used music to perpetrate his bad theology. And that is why we need to have a high view of what we allow into the church, not low. I'm telling you, that music is sneaky. If I went and pulled a lyric of one of the songs from them, you will find things where it's like, okay, well, that's not wrong, but that just smells a little funny. Yep. Yes, it does. Because don't think for a second that those organizations aren't evangelistic in their own way, that they aren't trying to persuade and to teach and to win people to their movements. They are. I would do a study on the subject. I would bring the information to who's ever responsible for worship at that Bible-based institution, and I would talk with them. I would encourage you to go look for our videos on the YouTube machine with Justin Peters. Jimmy, tell everybody what the name of that resource is. Not Strange Fire. Watch this, Jimmy. I'm gonna bail us out here. I'll tell you the name of that resource next on Wretched Radio. Would you like the university experience without the, you know, university experience? The Masters University invites you to visit their campus, or you can visit them online at masters.edu/wretched to discover a Christian college that is biblical, that offers all of the academic excellence you desire: sports, athletics, arts, communication, all of the activities of, you know, a secular university without the, you know, secular parts. Please consider the Masters University online, or of course, on-campus learning, undergrad, master's, and doctoral programs. It's Masters University, the university with the university experience without the university experience. Masters.edu/wretched.
Are you looking for biblical answers to life's toughest questions? Are you tired of shallow solutions that don't lead to real change? Welcome to Transform with Dr. Greg Gifford.
If you're dating someone that's not really convinced that Jesus rose from the dead, like, hit the eject button. What are you doing? That's dangerous, because they're not actually a Christian. They don't believe in the gospel.
Every week, Dr. Gifford brings you deep, practical wisdom from God's Word, showing how Scripture provides the framework for genuine transformation in your life, in your family, and in your walk with Christ. Whether you're struggling with difficult relationships or battling addictive habits, or just simply seeking to grow deeper in your faith, you'll find rock-solid biblical guidance that points you to Christ. Transformed is not just another Christian podcast. It's your weekly appointment with biblical truth. Transformed with Dr. Greg Gifford. It's available at Fortis Plus and on all major podcast platforms. You can find out more about Transformed and Dr. Greg Gifford now at fortisinstitute.org.
There are many struggles experienced by our brothers and sisters in Ukraine, specifically those who run the Masters Academy International.
The biggest challenge for men attending TMAI, especially in our context in Ukraine, is the opposition from people in the church who oppose sound doctrine, and therefore men really struggle to transform their ministries in accordance with the Word of God.
The Masters Academy International in Ukraine, fighting a battle on two fronts. You've got Russia, of course, and you have opposition from the church in Ukraine for biblically trained pastors to preach the gospel. Would you please consider supporting the Masters Academy International? Adopt a seminary, 17 different countries. Might want to turn your attention to Ukraine. To learn more about this amazing legacy ministry, visit wretched.org/pastor, wretched.org/pastor.
Know your church fathers. John Chrysostom was the bishop of Syria and Constantinople in the 4th century. He was an eloquent preacher,
and earned the moniker Chrysostom, which means golden-mouthed. He denounced abuses of authority in church and government and fought for purity of life and doctrine. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
That was just a tease. Of course, we knew it was called Drunk in the Spirit. This is Wretched Radio. If you've never seen, I think, is that resource? Now, would you go to FortisPlus.org, Jimmy, and see if that resource can be viewed for free? I think it might be. There's only a few things at Fortis Plus that are behind a paywall. And it's not because the goal isn't to try to like get you to spend money, because we want everything to be free. The reality is that stuff is just housed there. It's kind of technical, but so the people who do own those resources can stream it more efficiently than ever before because it's an app. Otherwise, just about everything at Fortis Plus is free. You're going to hear great guys. That means not me. You're going to hear smart guys, Brad Bigney, Jason Lyle, John Kratz, Adam Tyson, Greg Giffert, and a veritable cavalcade of really smart theologians at FortisPlus.org. Is it free, Jimmy?
It is.
There you have it. All of that. And I could have just said it's free. FortisPlus.org. Check it out. You're going to be shocked at what you see. And what you're going to witness and gasp at, those are the people that are making most of the contemporary worship music. Most of it. Not all of it. The Sing Conference, S-I-N-G, if you haven't been to it, I do encourage you to go there. It is a much higher view of worship, especially if you're trying to incorporate or even be, if you will, contemporary. It doesn't have to be lowly, repetitious, and dumb. It can be really good. There's some people that are writing some great stuff. You'll find a lot of that at the Sing Conference, but the ones that dominate, the Bethel, the Elevation, the Hillsong, you're going to see a lot of what is coming out of that movement, especially from Bethel, and you're going to just go, what in the world is going on there? And what is going on there is nuts. And they're writing music that is ear-tickling and catchy. And the kids sing it, and then they find out, oh, it's a Bethel thing, and they get swooped into the movement. How do you think that movement is growing? Answer, the music. We must be on high guard when it comes to music. And one of the things that we're trying to do at alpharettabiblechurch.org is to, it's not easy. I get it. It's not easy. I so understand this. Because there are people who are so used to contemporary music and they know it and it's comfortable. And maybe that's all they've ever heard. And all of a sudden, we're bringing in these old hymns, not exclusively, but a lot of it. And they maybe don't even know how that kind of music is done. I get that. And I think that we should be mindful of that. And we should be willing to say, we understand that this type of music is different for you. But let us explain why we choose to worship like this and explain the philosophy of worship music, that we are worshiping an otherly being, that we human beings, we have capacities that God has given to us, some of his communicable attributes, and we are to be worshiping him. So how should we human beings who are image bearers be worshiping a high and lofty God? No, we should be worshiping him with music that represents his character and his nature. We should be singing music that has four parts to it so that it shows diversity and unity. It shows the liberty that we have as believers, that he makes each of us distinct, and that we can walk in that liberty and look different than one another and sing different parts than one another. But we all blend beautifully because we're all in Christ. We want poetry, the best poetry. I feel sad. It is bad. It's making me mad. Okay, that's poetry. It just ain't good poetry. It's like Taylor Swift worship music, which probably exists, frankly. We want loftier. We want higher. We want bigger thinking about God. And wow, the opportunities, they are manifold. At different aspects of God and attributes of God. We want our music to sound different. We want our music to be as lofty as it can be for our lofty God. And that means poetry set to music that represents God's character and nature and is distinct You can't make a law about this, but I would make the argument that church music should sound different than anything else. Anything. Because we're not country. We're not rock. We're not pop or pan flute, whatever you're into. We're worshiping the true and living God. Shouldn't it sound different? Shouldn't somebody walk in and go, whoa, they're doing something. They've got a, this is different. This is not of the world. Bingo. Worship, big deal. Teach your congregation the philosophy of music and pull them up. Pull them up. And I promise you, they'll thank you for it. Because someday they're going to be on their deathbed. And they're not going to want the band and the drummer behind plastic protective glass or whatever that stuff is, playing their rock and roll kind of whatever that mood music is that they crank out of Bethel. They're going to want stuff that's robust and rich theologically as they go to meet their Savior. They'll thank you. And we'll thank you if you send stuff to idea@wretched.org or text 877-282-2337.
All right, this is from Gabrielle. Todd, how do you get over the awkwardness of starting gospel conversations?
Yeah.
And on the lighter notes, what's the kookiest reaction you've ever had to the gospel?
Kooky? I'm not sure about kooky. I think about that guy out in California. Witnessing in California, it's different. I feel for you in CA. It's harder. I was at a pier someplace. Ray had dumped me there. And there was a guy smoking a big fat stogie, sitting on a bench, clearly doing nothing. Sat down with him and he knew immediately. As soon as I swung from the natural into the supernatural, he just wanted none of it. And his response as he took a big huff on his cigar, I feel very sorry for you. And he walked away. Nice. That's the exception. The rule is most people are open to it. The only reason that it's hard to start a witness encounter is it's us. It is we. We are the, they don't, believe me, they don't hear it unless you are like so hackneyed at it. So what is your prediction for the University of Georgia and the Tennessee Volunteers game? Mm-hmm. Interesting. Did you know that Athens is where UGA is located? And in Acts chapter 17, Paul was in Athens and he said, okay, unless you're just that obvious about it, you can almost ask anything. I mean, anything will do. You can ask anything about what have you been reading lately? Do you read? What do you read? What's been your favorite book? You'll find something there. You can talk about the holidays, use Christmas, use Easter, use what's going on in the news. And even just, hey, have you ever, you can be talking about stuff. And if you just even ask, so what do you think about like the afterlife? Do you have any opinions on that stuff? And you go, well, that just seems so, no, it depends on how you ask it. And that's why the key to segues is your heart. If you're going out there, it's like, okay, I got to get somebody in the corner. I got to talk to three people and I got to make sure I get everything in and I got to win. It's going to sound pretty dreadful and you're going to find yourself talking to a lot of cigar smokers. But if you're just mindful of it as you go about your business and you are thinking, I want somebody to know the great news of Jesus. I want that for them. Then you're just going to talk to them like you're talking to them. Just care. And I'm telling you, you will find a way to move from the football game into eternity. It's all in our mind. One of the things that might help you on a practical level is practicing. Just another believer and just have a conversation. I know this maybe sounds silly, but hey, isn't it better than Netflix and social media and TikTok? So play with one. Okay, Jimmy. Okay, let's do this. Hey, nice to meet you, sir.
Hey, nice to meet you.
Memphis.
Yeah.
Oh, man. That's where Elvis... Do you get tired of Elvis jokes?
No.
No, you like the Elvis.
Yeah, I like Elvis.
The king. of rock and roll.
That's right.
You know, I heard that Elvis, when he died, he had a Bible on his nightstand. Do you know if that's true?
I don't know if that's true.
Because he sang a lot of gospel songs.
He did.
So maybe, I don't know. I know that he died in the bathroom. Are you a Bible reader yourself?
Oh, me, yes, I am.
Oh, you are?
I am, yes.
What do you think the point of the Bible is?
Well, it's got a lot of points.
Okay, so the point was just made. I got there. I just think. Don't be hackneyed. If I don't get this guy, I got to go find another person. Care about the individual. Have conversations and then just make your way there. And it might take longer, but you'll get there. And it might just help if you practice. That seems like a small investment to make into kingdom building. This is Wretched Radio.
And it's now time for your daily Fortis News Break, a production of Fortis Institute. I'm Jimmy Hicks. Well, folks, the dismantling of traditional marriage is continuing to march through the states. California, Colorado, and Hawaii have voted to strip their constitutions of any actual definition of marriage. California even went the extra mile by declaring marriage a, quote, fundamental right regardless of sex, which makes about as much sense as declaring breathing a fundamental right regardless of having any lungs. Anyway, and what might be seen as a glimmer of sanity from Russia, the parliament there has passed legislation that bans child adoption. Well, how is that sane? Let me continue. They've banned child adoption by countries where gender transitioning is legal. Now, I'm not suggesting we take any cues from Moscow, Russia, or otherwise, but even a broken clock is right twice a day. Speaking of protecting children, Ohio Senate has approved legislation requiring schools to maintain separate bathrooms based on biological sex. And Governor DeWine says he's inclined to sign it, though these days stating biological reality requires more courage than it actually should. To Oklahoma Hour, the Department of Education is launching an Office of Religious and Patriotism to protect religious practices in schools. And naturally, and almost as if it's on cue, the Freedom From Religious Foundation is already clutching their pearls, claiming it's about forced prayer. Because obviously, anyone can see letting kids voluntarily pray at lunch is basically theocracy now. And to Hollywood, where the mass exodus continues as Eva Longoria has announced she's fleeing our dystopian country for the greener pastures of Mexico and Spain. The former Desperate Housewives star is just devastated that she'll have to watch America's descent into darkness from her multiple international mansions. The transformation of children's entertainment marches on with Paramount Plus's new Christmas movie, Dear Satan. Yeah, you heard that right. And as no surprise, Jack Black plays the devil himself, teaching a valuable lesson to a child after being accidentally summoned instead of Santa. Satan, Santa, what's the difference? And in media news, MSNBC is hemorrhaging viewers faster than Spirit Airlines, losing about half their audience since the election. As it turns out, the endless doom scrolling about the end of democracy, it's not quite the ratings winner everyone thought it was going to be. And finally, in a refreshing moment of self-reflection, Congressman Seth Moulton is facing calls to resign after he suggested, embrace yourselves for this, that maybe having biological males competing in women's sports is not the best idea. The Democrat from Massachusetts has actually the audacity to mention that he doesn't want his daughters getting run over on a playing field, which, as we all know, is a major cancelable offense in his party. And that wraps up today's Fortis News Break. I am Jimmy Hicks. If you want more, download Fortis Plus or sign up to become a Fortis Insider for exclusive daily content. You can do both at fortisinstitute.org. And don't forget, you can subscribe to Fortis News on your favorite podcast app to get these updates daily. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.
God has given the church many gifts for the building up of the body. One gift is mercy. Those who possess this gift are able to show compassion and comfort the afflicted, people who are sick, dying, or bereaved. God cares about the things that afflict us and has provided comfort in troubled times. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
It's because he still is, wearing a Memphis thing, sweatshirt. What is that thing that you're wearing
it's
in there?
A pullover.
Ah, this is Wretched Radio. In rehearsing how you can segue from the natural into the supernatural, We role played, which is something you can do at home to practice your evangelistic presentation, specifically your segues getting into the conversation. Really, they don't need to be as clever as you think they need to be. You can just ask people, because if they hear that you're just interested in them, it maybe isn't going to be the first question that you ask somebody. But just chatting with somebody, you could just come right out and get to it. Because they realize that you're not there to be a jerk. You're not going to try to be mean. You're not going to try to club them over the head. You seem to be a nice enough bloke. And they'll talk to you. I'm telling you, they will talk to you. So Jimmy and I role played. He's wearing a Memphis shirt, which I failed to mention. And then that, of course, took us to Elvis Presley, man, which gets you to the gospel. Don't ask me how that happened exactly. But you can do it with virtually anything. You just need to be not in a Goldie Hawn kind of way, but mindful of it. All right, so Jimmy, role play number two.
Okay.
How do you do, sir?
I'm great.
Got to tell you, I am a little jealous of what's happening on your face.
Oh, what?
That beard, man.
Oh, you like it?
That's tight, dude. And you got one of those thick beards. You take a nap and you wake up and you got to do it all over again, I suspect. You know what I was reading about? That there are some evangelical Christians that say men should, they have to wear a beard because that's like distinctively masculine.
Huh.
Yeah.
I've never heard of that.
Yeah. Are you familiar with evangelicals? Are you a Christian?
I am a Christian.
Oh, you are a Christian.
I don't have a beard because I'm a Christian.
Okay, but away we go. And by the way, you're supposed to be a pagan.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
So do you think, are you familiar with evangelicals?
Yeah, I don't like those guys.
Oh, how come?
I don't know.
Okay, look, you're there. Now, have the conversation and trust the sovereignty of God. So let's say Jimmy and I are on a bus and we've got 4 minutes to the stop. He's good. You know that he's going to be getting off. Okay, well, enough about beards. Do you know where you're going when you die? Okay. Just trust God and do it naturally, normally, relationally. And if it gets cut off, you can just rest in knowing that that is all that God wanted that person to hear. Just talk to people. You can do this. And might I suggest, and this might be an ongoing refrain here for the next 4 years, while we can, I think that we all agree religious liberty is going to fare better because of the last election. Let's take advantage of it. The window could close at the next election. Let's open right now. Let's jump through it and be kingdom builders. By the way, speaking of your religion being the national religion, did you read about Iraq and what they want to do with? Hold on, I got to find it for you. In Iraq, they are passing some new laws. The Shias are in power. And so they want to change the age, the marital age, from 18 to, this is for girls, 9.
Oh.
Well, that's following in the footsteps of Muhammad, their prophet. What was it? Aisha, I think, was the name of the girl. She was like 9 years old. Okie dokie then. Furthermore, women, young ladies, they no inheritance. They can't file for divorce. In other words, it's Islam being applied. And if you want to go watch some fascinating, fiery responses to it, just go to YouTube and look for feminist responses to Islamic oppression of women, and you're done. Because you're not going to find any. But if you do, send it to idea@wretched.org or text away 877-282-2337.
Right, this is a text from Anonymous. Todd, I'm just wondering your thoughts on if it's okay to serve alcohol. I work at a diner, and my boss wants me to get the certification. The diner I work at is far from a bar. It closes at 7 at the latest, so people aren't coming here to get drunk. So would it be wrong for me to serve alcohol?
Well, I think ultimately you're dealing with a liberty issue here, but circumstances are really going to curtail those liberties. If you're in a situation where you're regularly feeding people drinks and they're just getting sloshed. I was going to like...
Sloshed, yeah.
Schnockered. And sloshed.
Yeah.
Schlockered. then I would have a very difficult time doing that, because You're not providing something that innately doesn't have to be sinful. You're actually participating in it. You're serving as the direct delivery mechanism. I personally would struggle with that. I'm not sure that I'd put somebody under church discipline for that. But I would petition the individual to really consider, are they participating in somebody sinning by imbibing too much alcohol? Now, if you're in the situation that was described and people come in and have a beer and they're not getting drunk, well, then I think you could have the liberty to do that. But then I would ask some other questions. What about other people? The issue of Christian liberty, it is far more complex than meets the eye, and there are many questions that you should ask before you exercise your liberty. And one of those questions is, will it edify other believers? So if other Christians are aware of what you're doing, will they be strengthened in the faith? And if not, you got to go, oh, not so sure that I should be doing this. What about your testimony? What word does this speak to people who are watching, believers and unbelievers alike? And if it doesn't pass some of those sniff tests, then I would suggest you can't exercise your liberty. You got it, but you shouldn't exercise it if you are violating any of those liberty principles, which maybe I'll bring those in next. We've done those before. I think I've got three lists because I'm looking at next week's text at alpharettabiblechurch.org. And I think that the text is asking for how we treat one another and how we keep each other from stumbling. And one of those issues, of course, has to be liberty, because we have permission to do things, and some people are going to disagree with those things. How do we get along? How do we exercise those liberties? And I think we've got three different lists. I remember one from Ligonier. Tom Hammond pulled one together. And a guy whose name is escaping me at the moment. Maybe go Google Christian liberty and the questions that you should ask. And you're probably going to have your answer. Because if you're discovering that, hey, my testimony is compromised, I'm not building up believers, then I'm going to have to give up my right. And this is what I believe. I do not think that this is 100% guaranteed. We're not word of faith people. But I think God is honored by those decisions, because you might be in a panic. Whoa, what do you mean? I can't have my job. I'm going to have to find another job. Right. And if you're making that decision because you don't want other believers to be offended, I think God is well pleased with that. And I would trust, again, his sovereignty to help you find a new gig. Exercise liberty wisely. And send stuff to idea@wretched.org.
All right, this is from Anonymous. Todd, what are your thoughts of a pastor texting back and forth with a married woman who separated from her husband but working toward reconciliation? They text nearly every day, several times a day. I don't know the content of those texts, but it seems not to be the duty of the male pastor, in my opinion.
Well, you don't know. So you're going to trust all things, hope all things. So you will give the benefit of the doubt to the pastor, unless you have any reason to believe otherwise. And it's not just because it's your pastor. Anytime we find ourselves going, well, I don't know what was being said, but it looks like, you are on rocky, shaky ground. You don't want to traffic there. You got to know before you even express concern. Now, that doesn't mean you couldn't meet with the pastor and say, hey, pastor, I've learned that. Is that true? You know, I trust you, pastor. I'm not accusing you of anything, but I wonder if wisdom might speak a different word, and that it just isn't wise to be doing that. And you could have a conversation with your pastor, because that's just dangerous territory. That's all. It's just unwise. You can't make a law. You can text, but you can't make a law. We believe it or not, that's one of the things on my to-do list. There is a woman in our church who is heading up the biblical counseling for women. So how do we communicate? It's church business. Well, the answer to that is, and it truly, it's on my to-do list, like to get this done. In fact, maybe even this Sunday, is to meet with her and her husband and with the other elders at Alpharetta Bible Church and say, hey, let's just do a group communication thing so that spouses are involved. So just, and you know what they're all going to say? Absolutely. Yes, absolutely. Because it's just dangerous. That's all. It's just dangerous. Okay, there's a pastor in Texas. We don't know the details of that either, but he had to go on sabbatical because of inappropriate texting, whatever that means. That's a danger zone. You're not going to find Kenny Rogers there, but you might find temptations and configurations that lead you to sin. Be wise, Pastor, and all of us, frankly. This is Wretched Radio.
What good is having a bank account with millions of dollars if you never use it? Well, the same is true with theology. Having Bible knowledge without applying it to your life is like having wealth you never spend. That's why we created Integrated with Dr. John Kreitz.
Every single person in the church is a ministry opportunity. You don't have to have a job to be engaging in ministry. You just have to have a heart to be a blessing to your brothers and sisters in the church. Stir them up and encourage them.
Stop letting powerful biblical truths sit idle in your mind. Let Dr. John Kreitz show you how to integrate God's Word into every area of your life. Integrated, a new production from Fortis Institute. It's available now on Fortis Plus and all major podcast platforms. It's produced by Fortis Institute, and you can learn more about Dr. John Kreitz and Integrated at fortisinstitute.org.
Preborn Ministries, pro-life ministry, rescuing babies. The war, let me tell you, it's raging out there. And Preborn is right on the front lines providing what is so powerful, ultrasounds. When a woman sees her baby 80% of the time, it's a no-brainer. That's my child. That's a baby in there, not a blob of tissue. Worldview is getting pumped into everybody through Hollywood, social media, the internet, universities, businesses, and government. If you'd be kind enough to consider supporting Preborn Ministries, that would be groovy. Lives are saved. Women, men, hear the gospel. Please consider supporting this network of clinics that is doing such great work. Preborn.org/wretched. Preborn.org/wretched.
Hey, thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. You ever notice how many voices are just clamoring for your attention these days? It seems like every week there's a new theological trend, another fresh interpretation of the Bible. Well, that's exactly why we've launched Fortis Institute. Drawing from 1 Corinthians 15:58, we're committed to helping you stand firm. Through Fortis Plus, you're going to get free access to 7 new pieces of audio and video content every single day, hundreds of hours of biblical content, exclusive director's cuts. But here's the thing, we're only able to continue providing this fortress of truth with the support of faithful gospel partners just like you. Your monthly gifts help us reach millions of people all over the world with the uncompromising biblical truth of God's Word. So if you're ready to stand firm with us, just visit us at fortisinstitute.org and become an ongoing monthly gospel partner today. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel.
Titles of Christ. In the Bible, Jesus is given many titles that teach us about who He is and what He has done. Jesus is called our sanctuary. Through Christ, we find refuge from God's justice and find a safe haven where we can enter into the presence of the Holy God. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Jimmy, 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 when will you learn? This is Wretched Radio. I know that I said Kenny Rogers, and you said, no, that's Kenny Loggins in the danger zone.
And you're never wrong.
I got that right, Pally boy. I am a talk show host. Just go look at Kenny Rogers' catalog and all of the times he was in a relationship that found him in the danger zone. What about Lucille? Just take Lucille. What about being a gambler? Please do not correct the talk show. Oh, there was a gaffe I made last week. I think I was talking about the sentences that begin with prepositions. I meant to say conjunctions. Thank you, grammar Nazis, for correcting me. I mean, if you're a grammar Nazi, I've learned that some grammar Nazis do not receive grammatical correction well. Others are like, oh, thank you, because I don't want to be a bad witness to grammar. And so I think I told you about James. He's editing my next book, which will be out next fall. And he wrote in some sentences into the book. A good editor will do that. And then we'll ask, hey, are you okay with this? You can massage this sentence, whatever. And he has a tendency, because he's a whippersnapper who has no appreciation for traditional grammatical rules, he'll begin a sentence with a conjunction. And I just said, let's avoid that if at all possible. And it's, by the way, it's always possible. Nevertheless, he sends me some edits for me to look at. And he pointed out a Bible verse that began with a conjunction. And his side note on the edit bar was, just to point out for your attention, even the Bible has sentences that start with conjunctions. It was a scribal error is what that was. Scribal error. That's what it was. See, would you please send corrections, comments, conundrums, snarks to idea@wretched.org or text away 877-282-2337.
Forgot to live the world.
Yeah. But if you look at the Greek.
Okay. I stand corrected.
It's God first. And then, okay. Then it's buried in. Well, you just have to look at the original manuscript.
This is from Sarah. Todd, I'm 16, and I understand that persecution is pretty rare in America currently, but it seems to be growing, and the pressure to compromise is getting heavy. How can I stand firm right now and prepare for the future, as it's likely getting worse?
Well, let's ask a question. Do you agree with Sarah's letter? Do you think now persecution is getting worse? Because I think a month ago, I think we would have all agreed, yikes, all of the signs, storms are brewing. But what about post-election? Is it possible that you're thinking, well, probably not as bad? And you know what? I think I'd agree with that. Probably not as bad. But here's what I know. And this, by the way, happens to be the thrust of my sermon this Sunday at Alpharetta Bible Church. How are Christians to live now? Because evil will not stop, despite the fact Republicans have all three houses. It will not stop. Evil will persist. It doesn't nap. In fact, I don't know if I mentioned this earlier this week, but the economy likely is going to do better. I think that's a pretty fair bet that it's going to be a more robust economy. Now, you know what that means? That means more people are going to have more money. And actually, that's very good for churches. It's very good for parachurch. I prefer subchurch ministries like ours, maybe because people will have more discretionary income. And Christian people are generous. They are just staggeringly generous. But do we think that liberals are going to stop caring about their causes? And as their bank accounts get more and more flush, that they're not going to give to, I don't know, the ACLU, the Freedom From Religion Foundation, that they will use the same robust economy to gather more wealth to spend it on their evil causes? Let's not be deceived. I know we've received what appears to be a potential respite. I'm hopeful for that, but I know nothing is going to slow it down. Now, they might not be able to get legislation done to the degree that they once did, but evil will continue, because that's the nature of evil. That is Ephesians 6. That is what is happening. We can't maybe see it, but it is what is going on with evil and spiritual battles in heavenly places. Let's not be deceived. The game hasn't changed dramatically. And therefore, I would suggest to you, while we might get a four-year break when it comes to religious liberty, we should take advantage of it, but we shouldn't think for a second if the next election goes a different direction. Look out, because to date, I agree with Sarah. The signs are there. And we shouldn't be preparing for it. We should be prepared for it now. That is just something, this is what the Christian life demands. Consider Jesus in the Beatitudes. They aren't the Be Happy Attitudes. They're the Beatitudes. And two of them talk about being blessed when you are reviled and persecuted. When? Anybody who will live godly in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. The entire book of 1 Peter dedicated to persecution. It should be our posture. Because if we're not doing anything that offends anyone, we're just not being salty or bright. So let's be prepared now. Don't take a break. Okay, we're good. We got 48 months. We'll think about persecution then. I would simply say that isn't wise. So how do you prepare? I think it's doing what we're supposed. The answer to so many questions about how do I fill in the blank are found in Acts 2:42. You just keep doing the means of growth. How do I get more peace? Acts 2:42. How do I have more joy? Acts 2:42. How do I find more purpose in my existence? Acts 2:42. You just keep feeding yourself the word, the word, the word, the word, the word. You need it. And the more you consume it, the more you will grow and the more you will be prepared for persecution. 877-282-2337.
All right, this is a text from Steve. Todd, can you please provide some thoughts on what a future or current husband needs to do to be a terrific husband to his wife?
let me guess. A woman asked that question.
No, that was from Steve.
Oh, that was from Steve.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, but what's in a name? Sorry, Steve. Way to go, Steve. I guess I still had Sarah on the brain. They both begin with the letter S. The point is, you should be getting prepared to be an excellent husband. In fact, here's the reality. I don't think any of us is ever going to arrive there. It isn't just before you get married. Okay, I'm going to get myself ready to be a good husband. You better just keep on keeping on, because you're never going to arrive at that destination, because we can always do better, can't we? And that should be our desire. And don't ever arrive at the place, whether it's sanctification or being a good husband or employee, don't arrive where it's like, you know, I think I'm there. Because the reality is we're not. Because we're not Christ. We try to be Christ-like. But we're not there. And the process of sanctification should inform us we've always got work to do and it shouldn't be burdensome. Let me share this only, because it seems sort of appropriate at the moment. And I haven't been able to find a place to sneak it in. Tim Challies, he's one of our fellows here at Fortis Institute. Rejoice in the wife of your youth. And not so youth. He's been married, I think, about 30 years. So he writes this: rejoice in her love by carefully observing how she loves you and by choosing to enjoy it on those terms. Does that make sense to you? It does if you're married, because I'm not a fan of the principle behind love languages, but I do believe there's some truth in it. We just all like certain things. I like touch. Oral, you know, just by, hey, I love you, verbally expressing love, by doing things. We just, some of us, okay, so your wife, she has a preference how she expresses her love. Let's say it's not the way that you love to be loved. Learn to love it. Did you know that? Back to Tim. Rejoice in her differences. Don't be agitated. Look at it and go, wow, an image bearer with different gifts. Wow. Rejoice in her holiness. Rejoice in her passions. Find joy in what she finds joy in. Rejoice in her body. These are things that this is just a lifelong endeavor. Start now. You're not married, you say. Start now. Start being a man who honors women. Start being a man who is strong. Start being a man who just, you will start to exude leadership. A calm, a sturdiness, an attitude that says, well, I'm going to take care of business. Work hard, study hard, and more than anything else, Acts 2:42, grow in godliness. That's what you can do, Steve. That's what I need to do. That's what Jimmy really needs to do. We're sending him memos on that. Just keep doing those things, and you will grow in consideration and fruit of the Spirit and patience and loving kindness, and you will be a better husband, because that's how the Christian life works, regardless of the subject matter. And until tomorrow, go serve your King.